Politico, Phil Hendry.
Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here online at philhendryshow.com and across the United States on our affiliates. And we welcome you to the program. And if you are looking for an affiliate, you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and there's an affiliate list there, and you can check that out. We've had a flurry of affiliate changes over the last, several months. So the best way to catch up is to check out the affiliate list. Some of those stations, we may not be on there Monday through Friday. We're now on weekends, and some of them we were on weekends, and now we're on Monday through Friday, and I don't know. In order to update yourself, find out where your local affiliate is, and then go over to that affiliate's website, and then click on their thing, and then do a whole lot of work that we won't do for you. All right, now, there's some very heavy news that I don't know. I only go to this news because it appears to be serious, and it is this hostage situation in Algeria. The United States is weighing in on it. 30 people have been killed, including two British citizens. Algerian forces, quote, defied international pleas for caution, and they stormed a BP gas field in the Sahara today. 11 or more Islamists, and what's happening down there is that these militants have taken over at least a part or all of this facility. And 11 or more Islamist militants were said to have died when Algerian special forces helicopters and, according to one account, warplanes launched a series of attacks on the sprawling complex seized by an Islamist group linked to Al-Qaeda on Wednesday. 20 Britons remain unaccounted for, according to Great Britain. David Cameron said earlier that Britain should be prepared for the possibility of further very difficult news following the death of a British oil worker in the initial Islamist attack. He postponed a speech he was due to give in Amsterdam today on Britain's future in Europe, saying he simply cannot be away until the crisis is resolved. Britain's future in Europe, that may sound heavy, but that just means the European Union and Britain's future dealings with the EU and other stuff that they're doing over there. You know, the European Union is an interesting entity in that most Americans don't really get it, and I feel very confident in saying that. Because I barely do. Not that I'm an example of the average American, but I just there's certain things I sense and some things that I don't sense. One of the things that I just saw here is that Americans are now more than ever before, not maybe even ever before, but more than in any other of the tragedies that we've had to endure, Americans are closer to the pro side of the gun control debate than they were. And it isn't because of anything other than the magnitude of what happened in Connecticut and obviously the heart-wrenching aspects of what happened in Connecticut that for some reason surpass other tragedies. And it has caused a lot of people who pretty much, and most of the people, when we talk about public opinion, folks, you're never talking about the real. You're never talking about the extreme. I shouldn't say extreme, but you're never talking about the activists. You got to understand something. It's really important, and this is what screws us up more than anything else. I know this from just having been in the media for as many years and been around focus groups, and I've been around audience studies, and I've been around surveys, and I've been around all that stuff. And you learn one thing. You learn that the really vocal, active people that you hear from are not the average person or the average voter or the average consumer. They are not. They are the squeaky wheel. There's no question about that. They get a lot of attention. They get a lot of people paying attention to them. They do not represent a lot of people. They just don't. That's just a fact. And it's as true with the Tea Party, for instance, as it is with the gun debate, where you hear a lot of very active people in favor of gun rights. I'm one of them. But I think I'm closer to a more typical voter because I'm a gun rights advocate. But this thing in Connecticut made me stop and say, wait a second. I've been paying a lot of attention to all the gun people and I've been supporting them. And okay, I've heard their message and I don't know how many times I got to come out in support of them. And now here are these children that are dead. And of course, the logical question I asked myself was, and where are we? When are we going to have the discussion about keeping kids alive. I've already done the discussion on your gun rights, and I got that, and I support it, and I'm in favor of it, and I don't want to see it go away, and I never want to see it go away, and I want everybody who's a responsible gun owner to have a responsible gun and to do the thing that they want to do with that. And I don't have, you know, I want you to know, first, last, and always, I don't want to do anything with your gun. I want to have a discussion. Do you mind? How do we save the lives of little kids in a school? Is that too much to ask? Now, when I asked that question, I asked it on Facebook, I got a bunch of jokes, which I understand because, Phil, primarily I'm a funny guy, you know. But I said, okay, thank you for the jokes, but does anybody have any real ideas? And I just went away, and I came back, it was like 9,000 comments, and I'm sure, you know, just getting the discussion activated in that direction. So the average person... You cannot, and I know that you know this, the people listening. I think there's a lot of people that, this is why primaries, you know, the party primaries are always not very indicative of what's going to happen many times. Not always, but many times. They say, wow, this guy's really got the will of the people. He's got the support of the people, and he's, look at all the people that are turning out, and people are in love with this guy. And then he gets into even the primary election, and then on to the general election, and all of a sudden nobody cares, because now you're hearing from more than just the choir that you've been preaching to. So, getting back to the EU and all of that, I got to tell you, I don't think anybody understands that. But England ain't even worrying about that right now because of the Algerian hostage thing.
So you're not talking about... By the way, I'm Bud Dickman.
Yeah, hi, Bud. I asked everybody to just kind of hold their tongue while I was...
You're not talking about anything but the Algeria?
Yes, it's a little confusing.
I'm talking about Algeria.
Well, that's nice because you went to gun control and you went to the EU and...
Yeah, I got to say something.
All right. I'm sorry. It's the Algeria thing.
The Algeria thing. Because, frankly, the other things you were talking about were more interesting.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. You know,
what's the problem?
When you started talking about the other stuff, it was better than this.
I'm talking about this only, pardon me, but I'm going to talk about this because it's important.
Well, get through it fast because the other stuff's...
Yes, the other stuff's more interesting.
And by the way, Ted Bell got a resounding being on our show last night.
As I predicted.
Well, no, it wasn't him. People liked him, but then there were a lot of people that didn't. Including Ted, so...
Yeah, he didn't like him.
Ted didn't like his own appearance.
When did he hear it?
He was on it. What do you mean, when did he hear it?
Didn't have to hear it, man. He was on it. Yeah, but did he... But then why does he say he didn't like it?
Because he was on the show.
Don't you understand? He's doing the show. Well, I suppose you don't really know. That is a very interesting point. No, you are an idiot.
All right.
Okay, yeah, I agree. So getting back to this important news, and then we will move on, because I don't want to upset anybody and bore anyone, but the fact of the matter remains, this is a very difficult day, and they've got this hostage situation for most of the day. Utter confusion surrounded the Algerian military operation. Tonight there were reports that some of the raiders were still defying the Algerian forces inside the gas extraction plant. This is what they do there. There were fears that the death toll might rise, an unknown number of foreign captives, and 600 Algerians were reported to have been freed or to have escaped from their captors during the assault. Algerian security forces said tonight that 30 hostages had died in the battle, including 8 Algerians, 2 Britons, 2 Japanese, 1 Frenchman, according to Algerian state television. And they said earlier that 2 Britons and 2 Filipinos were also, I should say, Algerian state television said 2 Britons and 2 Filipinos. So what happened was that Algerian special forces, and I guess special forces means something different.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not...
Yeah, we ain't talking about a Navy SEAL.
I don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about Algerian special forces. And so they... you know what? That's a big, big thing, man, to take on. I don't even know if an American assault group would be able to do that, because that's a lot of people to free, you know? And I don't know how you do it without...
You know, Israel done it down in Tebbi.
Yeah, Israel did it. They did it. But you know what? That whole Entebbe thing was in the middle of the night in a very isolated... It was a bing-bing. Nobody even... I don't know. It was just... It was a handful of people with guns too. Those people that took the airliner, the Air France jet to Entebbe. It was just a handful. All right, I'm sitting here. I'm being extremely thoughtful, and I'm now sounding morose, and I'm talking about death. Can we move on now? Thank you. All right, it's the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be coming back here. The Monte Teo story is weird. Don Parsley is going to join us. Mr. Parsley has apparently lost his girlfriend in a similar fashion and has asked to be on the air to talk about what that means to him and other men and women who have lost loved ones while this farce, this hoax, plays out. The world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
What's going on with the audio, man? I'm hearing you cutting in and cutting out.
I don't know.
We had a little cut in and cut out, and just cut out, baby, cut out. Anyway, Phil Henry Show, welcome to the program, 877-876-7445. And on the line with me is Don Parsley. Mr. Parsley is a businessman from Tucson, Arizona. He joins us on our Newsmaker line. And it was earlier this month, Mr. Parsley, in the month of January, not December, that you learned that your fiancée, Crystal, right? I didn't hear you.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I had her name right. Crystal went missing, and you were not aware of where she had gone to for several days. Is that correct?
That's correct, Bill. On the 2nd of January, she went missing from my townhouse in Tucson, and I immediately made the contacts that you're supposed to make. I called her father, I called her family, I called everyone that I knew. I was very, very distraught. I contacted...
Did you call the police?
The problem with the police is they tell you that you need 48 hours to contact them. And
You have to wait for it. This is the missing persons law, right?
I don't know if it's a law or not.
Well, it's... Yeah, Margaret?
It's the procedure of the police. They don't look for missing people for 48 hours because they feel this is an adult.
Yeah, why don't they do it?
They feel it's an adult.
Yeah, and the adult can make up their own mind.
That's how they explain it to me, that an adult is free to go wherever they want to go, so you can't report somebody missing because... So I was very distraught, and I finally found out. And this would have been on the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, on the 5th, on January 5th, I was called and told that she was hospitalized in Phoenix.
Hospitalized?
That is correct.
Did you speak with her?
No, I did not. And at that time, I asked the individual, this was a person from a newspaper, a weekly newspaper.
Hold on. She's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And did you hear from a doctor?
I did not. Eventually, I heard from her sister, but I did not hear from the hospital until she was released, and she said she'd been in the hospital. So what happened, just to tell you, Phil, is she was hospitalized. I got a call from this weekly paper in Phoenix. I forget the name. I think it's the Torero Weekly.
Torero Weekly.
Yes.
Okay.
And they said that your fiance, this Crystal McKenna, has been hospitalized. And I said, I have been looking for her. And they said, you'll get a call from her sister, which I did. And I said, who are you? This individual identified himself as Jason Cooper, a writer for the paper. And
Now, why would a newspaper...
Well, because she's an actress appearing in a film that was shooting in Arizona, and they had just done a cover story on it for their magazine. And I was...
So the hospital doesn't call you, right?
No, sir.
And the doctors don't call you? The family doesn't call you. The first word that you get that your girlfriend is missing, and the first word you get as to where she is from this newspaper.
Yes, exactly.
And how did you feel about that?
I was angry, and I told this gentleman, I said, well, I appreciate that. I said, how did you find out? He said, because I talked to some production people on the film, and they told me that she had been in an accident.
Well, what was the accident, by the way?
It was a automobile accident of some kind where she had been in a sports car, and apparently it overturned.
She was in a sports car. Was it hers?
No, it was not. It was a friend of hers.
And all right, so I just got a dot because it's a little confusing here. She left your townhouse.
Sometime on the night of the 2nd, yeah.
Sometime? Had you guys had a fight?
No, sir.
Was she planning on leaving you? Was there a...
No, sir, not that I knew of. Not that I knew of.
But she was in a sports... Was it a man she was in the sports car with?
No, sir, it was another woman. It was another woman. And I didn't get her name, but that woman is fine. But apparently there was some kind of an incident on the freeway where she was cut off and the car turned over. And so Crystal's hospitalized. I get in the car, this was on the 5th, and I said, well, I will drive to the hospital. I called the hospital, which was a place called Phoenix Receiving.
Phoenix Receiving.
That was the unit that she, it was the Phoenix, I think it was the Phoenix Receiving was the name that they told me. So I got in the car, and I was on the cell phone calling, you know, can I get through to her? Can I get through to me? And they said, no, she's sleeping. No, she's...
So all of this time, you're not able to talk to her. You're not able to see her.
Well, I couldn't very well see her. She was in Phoenix. But I know, you're right, I couldn't talk to her. Exactly.
Okay.
So I'm driving from Tucson to Phoenix, which is a good four-hour drive, and calling. No, no, she's asleep. She's taking a shower. At one point, she's down using the candy machine, or so they said she's using one of the concession machines.
The concession machine? You mean like a...
Was it a Coke machine? Did they have that on the ward?
I do not know.
Well, they have in a hospital?
Yeah.
I guess they have that on another floor, don't they?
I do not know. They said she's down getting some candy out of a machine. I called back again, and she was talking to the doctor. And so,
why did they not put your call through whether she's talking to the doctor or not? I would have insisted on that.
I would have too. That's unbelievable. What's the name of the hospital again?
It is a sister's. It is a Carmelite nun. Facility. When I say Carmelite, that's run by the Catholic order. So it's a private hospital, and I was concerned because you know, obviously this costs money. I don't know the state of her insurance. I'm sure she's got good insurance, but
is she in Screen Actors Guild?
I don't know.
Because if she's an actress and she works in a movie, oh well, it could be non-union.
Well, let's assume that she has the insurance, but it's a private hospital.
It was a Carmelite nun. Well, that's what I saw, a Carmelite nun, when I pulled into the lot of the hospital. I pulled in, and I immediately, and I hadn't, you have to understand, Mr. Henry, I got out of my pajamas, into my clothes, got in the car, and took off. 4 hours later, I'm pulling into the parking lot of this hospital, and I saw a couple of the nuns coming out of the hospital.
But what did they look like?
What do you mean, what did they look like?
What's that mean?
Well, how do you know that it was Carmelite?
They had on the type of habit that I recognized because I'd done research for a documentary I'd been shooting on nuns, and it was a...
So you're in the film business?
You do documentaries.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I had been doing a documentary on religious orders, and I recognized the Carmelite habit. I went in and...
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean they run the hospital.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. I assumed that. When I went in, I saw there was a Carmelite monk there. And when I say Carmelite monk, they don't have a regular priest's robes. They wear the rather traditional monk robe.
So, all right, so we know the hospital was private. Did you then get to see her?
I asked where Crystal McKenna was, and they directed me to the 3rd floor. And I went into an anteroom or a waiting area, and the doctor was going to come out and talk to me.
And this whole thing with the guy in Notre Dame. You know, I haven't even asked you, Don, about your feelings about this kid at Notre Dame.
Well, the fact that he has perpetrated this hoax made things so difficult for myself and other men like me who are looking for women that they love, missing family members. I think it's a crime, and I think that this man at Notre Dame, I think it calls into question the entire Notre Dame football program.
I'd hold the line. Don Parsley with us as he describes to us losing his fiancée shortly after New Year's and the bizarre, so far, tale that he's telling us and trying to locate her. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. And Don Parsley on the line with us. Don is a listener. He's also a man who has been on our program before as a news contributor. But more on a personal note, he lost a fiancé on the 2nd of January. She went missing, I should say, Don.
That's correct, yeah.
You finally found her, Crystal McKenna, right?
That's her name, yes, sir.
All right. Finally found her on the 5th at a hospital in Phoenix.
I didn't find her, but I was directed there.
So that's where we are with the story. You get in a car and you drive to Tucson to Phoenix to find this woman. It's a hospital, a private hospital.
Yeah, I only mentioned that, Phil, because I was worried. The first thing I thought when I got off out of the car was I saw the hospital. It was a private hospital, and my thoughts were, I hope she's not too seriously hurt. I still understand. I still don't know what's wrong with her.
Yeah, and you made a bunch of phone calls that didn't go anywhere, right?
That's exactly right. I couldn't get through to a doctor, a nurse. I said to people, where is she? Well, she's on the third floor, and I went inside. And
all right, so you said that you went inside. You said, where is Crystal McKenna, et cetera, and they directed you to a, where was it?
Well, you said you were directed to a floor at anteroom?
Yeah, was the doctor there?
I'm sorry?
Was the doctor going to be there?
Was the doctor, yeah. They said go into that room, and I went into the anteroom, and there was a doctor that came and met me and asked me who I was there to see. I said, Crystal McKenna. I said, I got a call that she was in an accident. I said I was told, and he said to me, sir, Crystal McKenna died.
Oh, my God. They told you that she had died there?
What? Where was that?
That's what I'm...
Bud, that's when he went in there. They told us she died.
Yeah, but that's not the end of the story. You have to listen to the end of the story. They said, I'm sorry, sir, but she died. She was brought in with blunt force trauma to the head. And I said, was it an automobile accident? He said, no, sir. She was robbed while she was jogging. And I said, I you know, and my head begins.
What is this? This is bizarre.
Yeah. So
anyway, I said, I got to sit down because my head was swimming at this point. I said, is she a woman, a blonde-haired woman, about 5'6"? He said, yes. I said, and I can tell you she's got a tattoo of a butterfly on her shoulder. And he said, yes, sir. And I said, well, where? I said that the people have got to be told, you know, her family has got to be told. He said, well, if you want. I said, but we were in contact with them. I said, well, when did it happen?
Yeah, because they had just been on the phone with you, right?
What's that?
They had just been on the phone with you.
You had called the hospital.
Yeah, I'd called the hospital. I'd asked what floor. Where is she? She's with a doctor, you know.
You said that she went and got a candy.
Yes, I did. I said she went and got candy and got a milkshake. They said at one point she's gone off to get a milkshake.
Where do you go get a milkshake?
In the hospital. Where did they get, yeah.
But probably about a Burger King next door or something like that.
Yeah, but you're not going to walk out of a hospital to a Burger King if you're in a hospital gown.
Well, you could if you put your pants.
Well, Understand this woman is a patient.
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of any of that, but I was driving there, and I finally got there, and they said she's dead, and I said, you know, and at that point I left because they said there's nothing more. You know, we tried to do everything that we could do, and we did everything that we could, and she's gone. She's just gone, you know. So I went back and got in my car, and I started to drive out of the parking lot. And that's when I saw her.
You saw her?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, this is the part that drives me. I saw her sitting on a bus bench, and I could tell you, I got out of the car. I was so absolutely stunned and so absolutely happy to see her, and at the same time angry and confused. And I said, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "I was going to leave you, and I changed my mind, and I was literally now going to catch the crosstown bus to meet up with a friend of mine who has some money." And I said, "Where were you going?" She said, "I'm going over here to the bar on the outskirts of Phoenix." And I said, "For what?" She said, "For money, so I could catch the next Greyhound back to Tucson." And I said, "Well, you can get in the car with me." And she said, I love you, and yes, I do want to do that, but I still..." Because she said, "Now that this person's going to meet me with the money, I'll go ahead and borrow it anyway, because that'll be some extra cash." And I said, "I don't understand, you know."
This is a woman that's employed.
Yes, ma'am.
And she's employed. She's suddenly in. She sounds to me like she had some kind of amnesia.
Yeah, it sounds to me like she did have head trauma, and that maybe they released her from the hospital prematurely.
Well, that's what I thought of. I immediately went to that, Phil, and I thought, "I think I need to take you back to the hospital." And at that time, she said to me, "No, no, I'm fine. I feel better." She said, "I had a headache, but it's gone now." I said, I just don't think you're okay." She said, "Just get me to the cask. They're closing." She said, it's almost last call." And
almost last call.
This sounds like a woman that is in very serious need of care.
Well, I took her over there anyway, because she said she was meeting this person. I waited in the parking lot for about an hour, and I went in, and she's having, you know, she's sitting there at the bar doing shots, and I got to tell you, Phil, I almost lost my temper.
I would have lost my temper a long time before that. What the hell is this? She's in the bar doing shots?
Yeah, she's sitting there with a guy named Rick or Ricky, something like that. One of these guys, he rides a motorcycle, and I said, "Okay, are you done yet?" And she said, "Be nice to me now, because Ricky here," and she introduced me to this guy.
Wait. You're dealing here with a woman that's got a problem, man. You know, you're dealing with a woman that's got a serious problem. She's either got some kind of a mental problem, or she had an injury that caused some level of amnesia, or what they call a fugue. Have you ever heard of that?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Have you ever heard of a fugue?
A fugue?
Yeah, fugue. F-U-G-U-E.
I have not.
This is a mental state that sometimes people have where they lose their memory for a period of time. Okay? It can be brought on by a head trauma. It can be brought on by just an emotional event. I've heard of people suddenly they have this state of amnesia. It can last for a few hours. It can last for a day. It can last for a week. And people wake up, and they don't know where they are. They said they're in another town, and they completely have forgotten.
And this is the result of what?
This can be the result of some previous brain injury or head injury. It can be the result of an emotional jarring event that causes. So did the doctor or anybody talk to you about that?
I don't know if they did. I wouldn't know if fugue. I don't know, but it sounds like maybe that's it. I finally got her out of the bar, and I said, I thanked this guy, Ricky, and he said, "No, you know, he was a very nice guy, I shouldn't say, you know, he had a motorcycle," and I said, "Ricky, thank you," and he was very nice. I gave him a couple of bucks, you know, because he wanted a drink, and I said, "All right," and I got her in the car, and to be honest with you, Phil, I kept driving and driving, and it was almost like I was racing the wind. I remember speeding down the 10. We were on our way back to Tucson, and I looked to my right. There was Crystal, and her hair was flying in the wind, and she was laughing. And it was almost as if I was with a wild horse, and I looked at the stars racing past me, and I saw Crystal's hair blowing in the wind and the car beneath me, and I felt all of a sudden like I was in control of none of it. It was all carrying me along. And at one point, she looked at me and laughed. And it was then that I felt as if I was in some dream state.
Hold on for a minute here, because we got to separate fantasy from...
Sounds like a movie that I would see or something like that.
Yeah. Sound like a movie that you were in or something.
He's not in a movie. He's describing... What do you mean you lost track of...
Well, I didn't lose track.
Well, you said that you felt like the thing was... What was going on with you?
Well, all right. So we get back to Tucson.
No. Hold on for a minute. You get back to Tucson. In the middle of the drive to Tucson, her hair is in the wind.
Her hair is in the wind, yeah. And in other words, I was having...
It sounds to me like some hallucination.
Yeah, exactly. And as I remembered it and as I experienced it, I thought I was on LSD or something.
Maybe that was it. Maybe you was on LSD.
I don't, when we got back to Tucson.
Well, how did you get back to Tucson if suddenly you're looking and her hair is in the wind and the stars are racing by?
Well, I made it back. I mean, at some point, I collected myself.
All right.
And I got back, but that's when I woke up. And
what do you mean you woke up?
Because I did. I had a period of when the time I got home and I got back to the condo, I blacked out somehow. But when I woke up, I was laying next to a small stuffed animal that my niece had given me as a little funny thing when I was in the hospital having back surgery, and she'd given me this little stuffed animal. And that's when I found out that indeed I had a message on my voicemail from this hospital asking me if I was okay, that I'd come into that hospital the night before holding this bear, and I wanted a gurney for it.
What?
What do you mean? Are you telling me that you hallucinated this entire event?
Yeah, I did. Now, I've been able to trace this back to a bowl of punch at a card game that I was at earlier in the afternoon of the 5th, and this was at Ray Bocason's house. This is a guy who is a tout. He touts local races, and I've known the guy for years, and he has a regular card game. But there was a bowl of punch.
Well, forget about the bowl of punch in the car. Are you telling me that you got dosed with some kind of hallucinogenic?
That's my belief.
And the teddy bear?
That was Crystal.
Have you ever had a girlfriend named Crystal?
Yes, sir.
Have you, Crystal McKenna?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever, was she an actress?
Yes, she was.
Well, all right, where does she fit into all of this?
I haven't seen her in a year.
Well, then, why did you say to us that your girlfriend was missing?
Because I was giving you the details of this as I was experiencing it. Okay.
Well, it would have saved us a lot of time if you would have said, by the way, this girlfriend doesn't exist.
I got to be honest with you, Mr. Henry, I didn't even think. I thought for sure you had already figured that out.
Why would I figure that out? Nobody told me.
No, he told me, but I wasn't.
What do you mean he told you?
I had told a guy named Bud Dick. Is that who's been in the background there?
Yes. What do you mean he told you?
He told us that when he called us. And I said, okay, and he said, a girlfriend, she doesn't exist. I was a teddy bear. But he said, please don't mention the fact that I might have been trying to have sex with a teddy bear.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want you to mention that, which you just did.
I'm sorry, but, you know.
But I didn't tell you not to mention that my girlfriend, I didn't tell you not to mention that my girlfriend doesn't exist, you see.
When he told you not to mention that he tried to have sex with a teddy bear, he also told you...
This is absurd. I am getting up now to go get a drink of water. I'm not going to the bathroom, thank you.
All right.
Why do you need to tell everybody that?
That's none of your business. And you know something, Mr. Parsley? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I did not have sex with a bear.
That's not it, sir. It's the whole stupid, asinine story that you've been telling here. And the fact... I suppose I shouldn't blame you 100%.
No, because I told these men that I talked to, I said to them, she doesn't exist.
All right, but you should have said something to me while you were telling the story.
I wanted to give it to you in real time. That's what I was told to do.
I didn't tell him the real... I said, just tell a story. And he said, don't mention a teddy bear.
No, I said, don't mention the fact... I said, don't mention the teddy bear. Yeah, you didn't mention the girlfriend.
Well, I said you didn't want to say none of it.
All right. I want you to hold on, Mr. Parsley, because I'm not done with you. And I'm not done with you two guys either.
I didn't do anything wrong, man. We did everything the guy told us.
The guy didn't tell you not to mention his girlfriend doesn't exist. He told you not to mention the fact that he tried to have sexual relations with a teddy bear. Okay, that's what he told you.
That's not... No.
Well, then somebody ain't coming clean with me. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with Don Parsley, who didn't lose his girlfriend. He hallucinated it from a punch that he drank at a card game with his friend who's a racetrack tout. Phil Hendry
Truth
Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Don, Phil Hendry here, 877-876, Phil. Don Parsley on the line with us. I'm not saying anything other than you should have said to me on the air that your girlfriend doesn't exist. You said you saw her.
I saw her. I'm telling you, Mr. Hendry, that I had taken the punch that I had at Mr. My friend's house, and I had drank that punch.
You're telling me that you took hallucinogenic unbeknownst to you?
Yes, sir.
All right. And you knew that. And I've already talked to my staff, and I've told them that they should have informed me. They said that you told them not to say anything about this teddy bear. Now,
And now that's the part that's come out that I did not want to come out of. And obviously it's embarrassing. And...
Well, the whole story is very weird, and it's not only weird, it's that you would lay it out on the air as if it was true. That's the part that disturbs me.
I did not, sir, and I'm going to reject that.
Excuse me, sir, Mr. Parsley, I was here. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm one of the panelists.
You're one of what?
I said I'm one of the panelists.
All right, I don't know what that is.
She's a co-host.
I'm a co-host on the show.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard everything you said. You did not at any time say, and by the way, Mr. Hendry, these events did not take place because I was under the influence of a hallucinogenic drug.
I had said to the gentleman that I spoke with, and excuse me, I forgot their names, do not mention the teddy bear, but I never said to them, don't mention the girlfriend, that don't mention that she was not real.
Well...
Okay, you know something? It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't.
You're not going to give me any credit.
No, I'm not going to give you any credit for that. Whether these guys remember to say it or not, frankly, if I were in their position, I probably would have remembered the more shocking of that at the time you told them was the attempted, whatever you're doing with this teddy bear. Now,
I want to say one thing. It was not any kind of assault because it's a teddy bear.
I didn't say it was an assault. I said that it was a strange act and very indicative of a disturbed mind, but the fact that you were on a hallucinogenic drug explains a little bit of it. The fact that you didn't tell me anything bothers me a lot. It makes me feel like you're trying to perpetrate or were trying to perpetrate the very hoax that this man, Mr. Teo, perpetrated there in South Bend.
I am not perpetrating a hoax, and I again will say to you, I didn't, Mr. Hendry, I did not deny anything. I didn't hold anything back from you. I told you that she did not exist as I told the story and as it played out logically in sequence and the way that the story is supposed to go. When you tell a story,
And excuse me, sir, I know how to tell a story.
Well, hold on, because when I'm just saying, when you tell a story, you start at the beginning and you lay it out in a sequential and chronological way, and when you go to the middle of it, and then you go to the end of it, and then you say, and so that happened, and that's what I was trying to do.
But you never told me in the story that the girlfriend didn't exist.
Because I told the men, and I understand now I made a mistake, but I told the men that talked to me when the phone got picked up when I called.
I know you're nervous, and I know you're upset, and I'm sorry, but this thing that's going on in Notre Dame, what did you want to say about that? That this guy is somehow less than you because he lied and you didn't?
I did not lie, sir. I did not lie.
All right, you know, there's all kinds of prevarication, and there's all kinds of you know, fabrication. You're...
I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to define what you meant by that. By the other word, not the last word, but the other one.
The one that came before the other one.
The one that came before the other one. I don't know.
Prevarication. It means lie.
What is fabrication? That's lie, too.
There are different ways of talking about, you know, fabricating, prevarication. There are subtle changes and differences. I would suggest, sir, that you get a dictionary and you learn meanings of words, because I'm not here to give an English class.
All right, Mr. Andrew, there's no reason to be sarcastic. I'm simply saying, and this man, Mr. Tao, has made it very difficult for those of us looking for loved ones that are lost, even if we hallucinated them, and I understand that sounds asinine, but the fact is, I was really frightened that I'd lost my girlfriend. When I found out that I hadn't seen her in a year, and that she was not sleeping with me the night before, but that in fact, a teddy bear was, it did not negate the feelings I had for this man.
Phil Hendry.